have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Sometimes I wonder how long can the world continue to stand with brother killing brother, no love in this land. But the natural truth is,
song said, got to get ready. And if there's anything we need to be doing in this hour, I'm going to put it like this. Get ready and stay ready. Amen. You can't keep getting ready. You got to get ready and stay ready. Amen. And we bless God tonight. Let us check and see what wonderful people of God are on with us tonight. One I know about, or else I wouldn't be on the air tonight if she didn't have it ready to go. Amen, my dear friend, Kimmy Kim. Greet us tonight.
Hello there, Apostle Smith. I am in the building.
Amen. Let me see. Amen. Maybe the Sandman didn't catch you this week. Amen. Let me go to Indianapolis. Indiana, let's see. Is Pastor Anna Henderson on with us tonight? Okay, she's been resting the last couple of weeks. Hey, man, I know he's headed down to tornado victim country on tomorrow, but is Bishop-elect Ernest Bishop with us tonight?
Amen. Praise the Lord. We are in the house tonight. So happy to be here. Trying to pretend like I got some sense today.
God bless you, man of God, and we're definitely going to be praying for you before we get off of this podcast tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Now we want to see if this other fire starter is on the line. Amen. He likes playing with matches. I know they told him better, but he just changed up. Are you here, Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow?
Well, the Lord bless you, man of God, and I don't know where you get that from, but I like playing with magic. My mama.
Caught
up there, the fire's already burned.
That's all right, y'all. Don't bear no mind. He talking junk. He got lighter fluid in one hand and a match in the other. We don't know what he's ready to do. Yes.
Amen.
Let me check the line. Amen. Good friend of mine won't be calling in. Amen. Is Elder Kenyatta calling on this line? All right. He has not called in as of yet. We're going to keep it moving and let the party get started. Amen. Bishop Richard, please give us the opening prayer tonight.
Let us pray. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, we honor and glorify you for who you are, for all you do, for all you have done, and for all you have been doing. God, we've assembled ourselves here tonight to talk on your word, to speak on the things, the oracles of God, the principles, and all that goes along with living a godly life. Now, God, open our eyes, our ears, our minds, our spirits, that we may be able to hear what thus saith thee. Father God, for the hundreds, the thousands, and even the millions that may be listening in the city and around the world, God, we pray that you would put a seed in this spirit that would germinate and begin to grow in them and manifest your greatness in each and every one of their lives. We bind up every disturbing, distractive, disrupting spirit now in the name of Jesus. We loose the angels of the Lord to go up and down throughout the airwaves, wherever the people may be, clear up lines, clear up internet internet contacts, Father God, that they will crystal clearly be able to hear what thus saith thee through this thine servants tonight. Anoint every mind, every panelist that's on this particular line, those that are here, and even those that are coming. God, give us the wisdom that can only come from you. We pray for you to break up the fountains of the deep. Let us down into your storehouse and that well of wisdom, Father God, that the words we speak will first and foremost be seasoned with salt, that it would minister grace to the hearers, bring about deliverance, healing, wholeness, and whatever else is needed and or necessary. God, we confidently put all this into your charge, into your care, and turn this service over into your hands, for it's in the mighty, matchless, majestic name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. We thank you for that prayer on tonight. And I just like to say, before we get going tonight, if you are in the New Haven area, if you are in a state not too far out from Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, amen, Vermont, amen, all those places, we're inviting you to the Hollaback Awards, where I have been informed that I am a honoree on this year at the Hollaback. Amen, want you to come and be a part. October the 9th at 6 p.m. at the Hook and Ladder at the Best Western Hotel, 201 Washington Avenue. Come on out. It's going to be a great night. They got some lady coming that be singing some songs about, you know,
deliver me.
Deliver me, and you know, and things of that sort. You know, I think they call her what's her name? Lord have mercy. Leandria Johnson or something like that. You know, she one of them new folks. So Leandria Johnson will be there that night, along with the legendary.
Legendary.
Armstrong.
Yes.
And comedian Willie Brown will be in the house touching our funny bones like never before. Amen. Tickets are on sale at the Kevin C. booth. Amen. And they're also on sale. Amen. Get in touch with Brother Jerry Green, and they will gladly serve you a ticket with your money. So we'll look for you October the 9th. And guess who else is involved? Some guy that comes on Thursday night. Y'all know it. It's called Preacher Corner. Yeah, that guy, he's going to be there too.
He's your host this year. He's your host.
He's going to be doing the MEC. You don't want to miss it. Don't want to miss it. God bless you. See you on October 9th. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We praise God tonight. We were in conversation on last week how to get to the supernatural. And we had as our character reference Enoch and Abraham. And we looked into Enoch, or Enoch, however you want to say it. We looked into Enoch's life and walk with God, and we discovered last week that word walk is the same walk in the New Testament when it says we walk by faith and not by sight. So when we look at the fact that Enoch walked with God, it's telling us that Enoch began a faith walk with God, not just his feet moving, putting one step in front of the other, but he began to move in faith. And we discovered last week that any of you that have ever taken the time in your studies to read the book of Enoch, or you have understanding of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it tells you in Hebrews that he began to see and say things that God could no longer keep him in the earth. And we discovered not only that Enoch had walked with God, his faith took him straight into the supernatural with God. And he began to have a relationship with God that was so strong and powerful until God began to open up to Enoch things that would come many, many, many years later in life. And so we had a conversation last week about how do we get there? What does it take? What do we need to do to become supernatural walkers? To take our faith to a place where the supernatural begins to happen. And I know for years some of us have heard about, oh, we got to pray. We got to shut in. We got to consecrate. We got to fast. And we're going to get into the supernatural. And God's going to do the phenomenal. Well, last week, Enoch let us know if you could just let your faith get into the right place with God, you can just go right in to the supernatural. Because faith is locked into the supernatural. Because we go back to Genesis 1, every act of God that we see in Genesis 1 is a supernatural act through faith. I want you to understand that clearly, that when he begins to speak, to let there be light, let there be trees, let there be fish, let there be, that was a supernatural move through faith. You don't believe it? We'll go back to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 said that the world was framed by faith. And the word of God, I want you to understand, tonight, as we make ready to move into our lesson for tonight, just trying to bring you up the code. When you talk about Abraham, the word begins to tell us Abraham heard a voice and began to follow a voice that came from a man he had never seen. A voice he had never heard, started speaking to him. And he started walking with a voice from a man he had never seen. And he began to walk so in faith that the book of Romans told us. He walked in faith so until he began to call those things that be not as though they were. Wait a minute. Who else did that besides Abraham? Nobody else did that but God. So actually Abraham began to walk and talk like God through the auspices of faith. He stepped into a supernatural place with God through his faith. Even Hebrews 11 tell us he stopped looking for earthly things and started looking for a city whose builder and maker was God, which had foundation. And so tonight, I just want to encourage you that your faith can take you into the supernatural realm, and you don't have to go in the realm and come out the realm. But if you keep your faith strong in God and just follow faith, the supernatural will become a everyday part of your life. So we have called, brought you up to speed tonight. We want to go over to 2 Kings chapter 2. Some things we just want to show you tonight. Amen. And we're going to be talking about Elijah and Elisha. We're going to be talking about Elijah and Elisha. And there are some wonderful things in this story that you need to see, or else you're going to miss out. I said chapter 2, but we need to look in chapter 1 for a minute. Somebody start reading in the verse where Elijah is walking through the field and touched Elisha with his mantle.
Oh, boy.
Anybody see it?
I'm trying to find it. If I ever got that fire cup, okay, from heaven. Okay. I'm in the back of the bottom half of one, of chapter one. I'm trying to see where. Apostle, do you have it? A start point?
I'm looking just like you are, sir.
I'm going back. I'm already at the top. So it's got to be somewhere around 11 or 12. Let's start. This isn't quite it. This was fighting men. They replied, a man came up to meet us. Okay, this might be it. Let's start at verse. All right, let's start at verse 2. Because, I mean, it's in there. I'm kind of looking at bits and pieces that might be it, but we're not exactly sure. It's just skimming through it real quick. Five version. Ahaziah, king of Israel, fell through, Moab rebelled, against Israel after the death of Ahab. Ahaziah, king of Israel, fell through the lattice, the grid, in his upper chamber, which was in Samaria, and became sick from the injury. So he sent messengers saying to them, go inquire of Baalzebub, the god of Ekron, if I will recover from this sickness. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise and go and meet the messenger of the king of Samaria and say to them, it is because there is no God in Israel that you are going to inquire of Beelzebub. Is it because there is no God in Israel that you're going to require of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Therefore, this is what the Lord says. You, as Ahaziah, I got it right that time, will not leave the bed in which you lie, but you will certainly die. So Elijah departed. When the messenger returned to Ahaziah, he said to him, why have you returned so soon? They replied, a man came up to meet us and said to us, go return to the king who sent you and tell him, thus saith the Lord, is it because there is no God in Israel that you sent to inquire of Beelzebub, the God of Ekron? Therefore, you will not leave the bed on which you lie, but you will certainly die. The king asked them, what was the appearance of the man who came up to meet you and said these things to you? They answered him, he is a hairy man, and with a wide leather band around his loins. And Ahaziah said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king sent to Elijah a captain of 50 and his 50 fighting men to seize the prophet. And when he went up to him and beheld, he was sitting on the top of a hill. And the captain said to him, man of God, the king says, come down. Elijah replied to the captain of the 50, so if I'm a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 fighting men. Then fire fell from heaven and consumed him and his 50. King Ahaziah again sent to him another 50, captain of the 50 and his 50 fighting men. And he said to him, man of God, thus saith the king, come down quickly. Elijah answered them, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 fighting men. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. So Ahaziah again sent a captain of a third 50 with his 50 fighting men. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and bowed down on his knees before Elisha and begged him for compassion and said to him, O man of God, please let my life and the lives of your servants, these 50, be precious in your sight. Behold, for fire came down from heaven and consumed the first two captains of 50 and their 50s, but now let my life be precious in your sight. The angel of the Lord said to Elijah, go down with him. Do not be afraid of him. So he stood and went with him to the king. Then Elisha said to Ahaziah, thus saith the Lord, since you have sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, God of Ekron, is it because there is no God in Israel to inquire of this word? Therefore, you will not leave the bed on which you lie, but will certainly die. Shall I continue on? I've only got a couple of verses left.
Yes, sir.
All right. Jehoram reigns over Israel. As Ahaziah, the son of the king of King Ahab, died in accordance with the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken, and because he had no son, Jehoram, his youngest brother, became king of Israel. The northern kingdom in his place is the second year of Judah, the southern kingdom. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? We are down to verse chapter 2. Would you like to pick that up, Apostle?
Go ahead, sir.
Oh, Lord, get my eyes straight, Jesus. I know this is small writing, but we're going to work with it. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up. Go ahead. Go ahead, sir.
And it came to pass. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Elisha said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yeah, I know it. Hold ye your peace. I just said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men, the sons of the prophets, went and stood to view afar off, and they stood through by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elijah, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou shalt see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. It came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. And then the sons, the prophet. All right.
All right.
Amen. Sorry for the lengthy scripture tonight, my brothers. I wanted to bring in that other piece, but we're going to talk about it anyway. It must be in the last chapter of First Kings. But I want to just try to pull this together real quick, and then we're going to have a wonderful discussion tonight. Because tonight, I want to ask the question, who are you pulling the supernatural from? Who are you pulling the supernatural from? Now, in the scriptures, it tells us that the Lord was with Elijah, And Elijah had just got finished doing great things, and he was walking through a field. Listen at this carefully now. He was walking through a field. And as he was going through the field, he saw Elisha plowing the field with his yoke of oxen and his plow. But as he passed by Elisha, the Bible said, it didn't say he touched him. It didn't say he rubbed it against him. It said he smote him, which meant he hit him with his mantle. And when he hit Elisha with his mantle, watch this now, there was an immediate connection. Oh, my God. I want to start right there, and then we're going to ride into some other stuff that was already read. Who are we being hit by in this hour? Is there anybody in this day and hour that if you could be hit by to receive the supernatural power, who would it be? Don't everybody jump out at one time.
Well, that's a hard question personally for me to ask, because I've only known three people who had the type of wisdom that could even carry that type of anointing. And, of course, all three of them have gone on to be with the Lord, you know, one being my spiritual mother, the late Dr. Maddie Atkinson Darden, the other being the late Bishop Walter Joyner, and the last being the late Pastor Lloyd Butler of Solid Rock down in North Carolina. Now, I've come across some people that have potential, but if I had a choice, it would have to be from one of the three that I just mentioned.
Okay,
somebody else can jump in there.
I don't mean to sound like I'm picking, but I'll give you number one out of your list. I'll give you number one. I'm going to stay in meditation. Apostle Whitlow, what would you say?
Well, unfortunately, like Bishop Elect, those that I would consider, the Lord has called them home already. One would be my father, Bishop Irvin Whitlow Sr. Another would be my godfather. There were two of them. One was Reverend John Woolery, man filled with wisdom and great power because of his life. Then there was another one out of Brooklyn, New York. His name was Apostle Douglas Johnson. Goodness, he was what the young people call a beast in the spirit.
Amen.
So that would be, and then there was another one who really, really, if you will, pulled me into a place with God that I really wish that he was still here, and that is the late Apostle Joseph Barnfield. So these are some of them who I would have to say I would have loved to have been able to get from them that supernatural.
Okay. Kimmy Kim.
Put the pen down. Tell your people you'll
Kimmy
do the taxes
Kim,
later.
Come off of you.
Yes, I
you.
Was on mute, as always.
If you could be by somebody that will connect you into the supernatural, who would it be?
Anybody.
No, I'm talking about those that you have seen. Who
okay.
Who left an impression upon you that you believe you could have extracted the supernatural anointing from them?
I would like to say, I have some, you know what, I like Peter in the bus, because what I like about Peter, he was bold. He was very confident. I mean, sometimes he would speak before he knew what he was actually saying. And sometimes I see things that reminds me of myself. So one thing I do like about Peter, though, he had and he does have a heart for God. And so, you know, he walked with Jesus, and just knowing that he touched him, oh my goodness. Another thing I like about Peter is that he showed us that even though when we do let God down, if we have a beautiful heart, or if we have a heart after God, God will still allow us to be part of his kingdom, because when he denied Jesus 3 times, that was prophesied. And then he had a really sorrowful heart after that. And so, you know, I would love to really have a talk with Peter. Yeah, Peter.
All right. Now, my number one choice, which is obvious, I'm like Whitlow, my own father, Bishop Charles Smith Sr. The man had a supernatural anointing that was bar none. He's gone on, and I have caught that mantle. I can say that with glorious pride, not to stick up my chest and think I'm all that, but that mantle is upon me. And then I would have to throw in my mother, the Reverend Dr. Zadie B. Smith. And then there are some others who the Lord blessed my life to be in close proximity, and I wish I had been in direct line to receive, but I do believe I have received something from them, and that is the Pastor Wilhelmina Redmond.
Mm-hmm.
The Bishop William Martin Philpott Sr.
All
hey,
right.
Man. But the Lord blessed my life to be around so many that I wish I could expect from Amen. Prometheus Sherman, Brian
yep.
J. Mosley,
Nate
Baxter, and Judy Hayes. The Lord
yes.
blessed my Bob Pulley. I wouldn't dare forget him, because he's been a great mentor in my evangelism days and even in some things that I do now. You know, and we all in our walk with God should have names of people that we have seen in our time of walking with God that we feel like if they had hit us with their mantle like Elijah hit Elisha, we would have received another portion or another level into our lives. And it would have been a transference of the supernatural. And so we see he hit Elisha with his mantle, and the Bible says Elisha dropped men to follow Elijah. What kind of power here are we talking about that makes a man say, forget this, I'm going with this person? What kind of connection are we talking about? Somebody talk to me.
I think it was a great respect for what was on his life. I think that he saw where if he stayed connected, he would be able to use that very same anointing in his ministry. Because if the truth be told, many people in today's time, what they do is they try to imitate and duplicate and emulate other folk and what other folk do. So I think this was a matter that he saw within himself, hey, I could use this in my life and it would be beneficial for me. I think that's what he saw. I think that's what he thought. And I think that's really what he wanted.
Anybody else?
Well, I'm looking from this perspective, and I have to have a lot of respect for Elisha for his determination to receive that which he made a request for. And in our everyday living, as much as we want to walk in the supernatural, there is that ever-present desire to be in the right place at the right time with the people God has assigned to make that transfer of power into our lives. One other thing I noticed that his walk with Elijah, and as he made his way and came down to the final moments, people were trying to tell him things that he already knew, and I can understand why he was telling them to be quiet about it, because, I mean, you know something's going to happen. You don't need to hear it 57 times. You already know it's going to happen. You try to stay emotionally, mentally, and physically prepared for this departure that's going to happen, because you know from a human standpoint there's going to be a level of pain there. There's going to be some hurt because your dearly loved is now not dead, but just transferred or translated out of here. But at the same time, spiritually speaking, there is a preparing to receive a mantle that God is going to allow you to carry to the next level. So I got a lot of respect for him, for what he had to deal with.
Well, I want to look at this. Here's another thing. Up until this point, Elisha has never been mentioned.
Nope.
What in the world is God doing to have the prophet smoke somebody never heard of, never seen, unknown, and all that goes with that? What in the world is this?
Like I said, preparation, right place, right time, and of course it is God's anointing. See, sometimes we may think that the person that's being made apostle, bishop, overseer, whatever the case may be, is the wrong person. They ain't got no business in the office. They have no business whatsoever even in ministry. Who are you to make that choice? Don't we think that's God's decision?
Anybody else?
That's all.
All right. Nobody else is chiming in.
I think that Bishop Elect is saying it well. You know, who are we to say who should be, if you will, the mantle carrier? You know, God does what he wants to do because he's God. And people need to understand that if this is what God wants, then it's going to transpire whether we like it or not. Because it's not about us. It's about what God desires to do. And oftentimes, it's hard for us to accept that because we want to be, if you will, God's judges. Oh, well, no, this one don't need to, that one shouldn't, this one shouldn't be, because this one, that. Because what we want to do is we want to look at people and their history. We don't want to look at their potential. We just want to see what's wrong with folks. And that stands in the way of a lot of times what God wants to release to people because we're so busy looking at what it looks like and what we think it should do. And in fact, it is not our call. It's not our choice. It's not our decision.
That's right.
Now, then let me propose this then from a different angle. I understand God choosing who he wants or whatever, but we're going to discover in this lesson tonight that there were sons of the prophet in at least three or four cities. So what in the world was Elijah doing hitting Elisha?
Well,
the wake-up call.
Are y'all trying to tell me or make me believe that there wasn't one son in the school of the prophet that was ready for that hit?
I think what it was, again, was Elisha was so committed to his what he saw as his spiritual father. He was so committed to who he saw as his leader that he wasn't concerned about everybody else. And the problem with today is that we don't have one. There are not a lot of real spiritual leaders. We got a lot of spiritual hoarders, which is a big, very big difference, you know. But this one was so committed. He's like, I don't care where you go. Just as long as the Lord liveth and as long as your soul is here, I'm going to be connected. I'm going to be tied to you like glue. I ain't letting you get away from me. I want everything that you got and then some. This is what the man was saying. Look, this is how connected I want to be. I want to be able to flow like you, operate like you, do what God is doing. I want the same thing. And we don't have that anymore. Why? Because we don't see it.
Well, if I can tag on. Go ahead.
Wait a minute. Let me get back to this. I'm still in the field. In the field, Elijah and Elisha have no connection whatsoever. As far as we know, this is the first time Elijah has seen Elisha. What in the world make Elijah hit Elisha, and then Elisha, what was in the touch, make Elisha want to follow this man the way he did and didn't even know him, had never seen him? I mean, as far as we understand from the scriptures, these two had never been together before, but through a hit or a strike, he's now so locked into this man of God. Let me add that on. He's so locked into this man of God that the man of God can't get rid of him. And then we read that there are sons of the prophet, which means they had been in close proximity. They had already been in closeness with Elijah, but he hit Elisha. What is going on?
Well, like I started to say a few minutes ago, I said it already, but I have to reiterate it and maybe elaborate on it just a little bit more. Right place, right time. God had that whole scenario set up, because had it been a situation of familiarity, there would have been a spirit of familiarity. See, the problem here is in our day and age, we become familiar. Fathers will pass down the mantle to their sons to carry on ministries that they all started and created. And that didn't necessarily have to be the case. We've had a situation like that take place in Bridgeport. We've had a situation take place like that in New Haven within the last 7 years. And you guys know both of whom I'm talking about. One of which had to still be cultivated and molded and shaped and be made ready to take on that mantle. And the other slightly walked into the mantle, but he had to make up his mind to walk away from the streets totally and completely. What I'm simply saying is this. This is not a situation where you had two people who were familiar with each other, but you had two people who come from two totally different backgrounds, but yet God found a commonality in the both of them.
Okay, and I'm going to go right back on it again. Because you said something that's where I'm trying to get to, but I don't even think you realize you said it. You said sons got mantles from their father.
Mm-hmm.
There was no son and father relationship with the two of
Mm-mm.
them. So what in the world is he striking Elisha for, and what is Elisha now dropping everything to follow him for when Elijah was not his spiritual leader, was not his mentor? Elijah was not the one that sat down with him, you know, and taught him the ways of supernatural or either prophetic utterance or anything. What is happening?
You want a piece of this?
In actuality, we all know. We have staff
mm-hmm.
ministries, and when things start to change, that's in a time of life.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're going to go through other stuff. But let's say the time of life starts changing in our leader. Somewhere, somehow, the thought will hit you. Who's going to be able to take this ministry?
Mm-hmm.
If something happens to the leader,
mm-hmm.
who's going to catch the mantle?
All right.
And you're sitting there thinking about sons and daughters in the house. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere one day, pastor comes out of the office with somebody that ain't never had nothing to do with the ministry and announces, this is your pastor. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you a real life example of that. The late Reverend Clay Evans.
All right.
Charles Jenkins came to Clay Evans' church to be interviewed as the youth pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting out in the lobby, mind his own business, just wait for them to call his name to be interviewed once again as the youth pastor.
Mm-hmm.
They said, Clay Evans, when Charles Jenkins walked into the office, said Clay Evans yelled out to him, don't sit down there, come sit over here. Which was a chair next to him.
All right.
And they said in this meeting, Clay Evans announces to everybody young man is not here to be interviewed for no youth pastor. He's going to be your pastor.
All right. And Spirit told him that.
And said, Jenkins almost passed out, and everybody around the boardroom table is looking like, huh? Duh.
What?
What? What actually
Well, you
happened?
Know what? Think about this. Think about
yes.
this. This is the difference between natural and supernatural.
Oh, here we
natural
go. Here we
is
go.
Natural is looking for the business as usual approach. Supernatural does not do business as usual, but supernatural does unusual business.
And I'm going to can I tell my own story?
Go for it.
Y'all not going to believe it, maybe, but I want to tell you the God's honest truth. I was a preacher and evangelist on the road out of this ministry.
Mm-hmm.
When my pastor and my father got up one Sunday and talking about what was the next step for the church in case he got sick, incapacitated, or died. Because
mm-hmm.
just before that, the bishop, my godfather, the Bishop Curtis D. Gilmore, had died,
mm-hmm.
and that church was in total chaos.
My goodness.
They kept driving out. Everybody, the bishop was sitting over there to try to run, preach and become the pastor. They drove him out. He said, so he went in prayer. Lord, I don't need this to happen at Morningstar.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do next if something happened to me? And, man, I'm listening to him talk. And I'm sitting there, getting ready to clap my hands for somebody else sitting in the pulpit. But the Lord said, and he said, that ain't for the other. I said, out of my pulpit seat, on my knees, on the floor, in the pulpit, just crying in the office like somebody would give to him.
Mm-mm.
I was not expecting that. If somebody could have walked in and handed me a suitcase with $1 million, I could have received that better than that word if I just went to the book. I was in all my life. And I stayed up even that day. I said, but I did get back up and said, in the pulpit, I said, what is going on in here? I said, my father just read his paper wrong. Oh, what is going on? I was only dumb. Looking to get deep, I'm just Somebody, everybody. They had been a reference in high school for a long time because they were in the school of the prophet. Elijah was in charge of the school. I know at the time he had to come there and make revelation for him and prophesy over someone's life and all that. But in all that, none of them had tapped in to the supernatural mantle that God would release from them.
That's right. Well, I mean, we see this even in this day and age. There are certain denominations that will not allow you to pastor unless you have at least a bachelor's degree. And education does have its place, but education can't deliver. Education can't set free. Education can't heal. Education can't open blind eyes, cause the lame to walk or the dumb to talk. The anointing makes the difference. Elisha comes from a place that has not yet been discovered by those who are in the school of the prophets, because all those in the school of the prophets were pretty much doing the same thing. They knew how to say, what to say, when to say, where to say, knew just how to dance, knew how to make their way around. They were church, or should I say churched, as opposed to this raw material out in the field with his heart set on God. You there?
I'm just so listening to you two, learning so much from you all. Thanks be to God.
Now, listen, you know what? And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire.
I got on the wrong
boot
for you to do that.
I got a low cut sneaker, so I don't want to walk in no extracurricular. She ain't right. She's not right. She is not right.
That's the truth. That is the truth.
My goodness.
But again, Bishop-elect has really taken the lead tonight to teach us a thing or two, how important it is that we seek the supernatural and not the natural. You know, it's easy to just say, okay, hey, you're next. But if it's not God's choice, then it comes out wrong. That's why I believe some of these local assemblies, That's why some of these local assemblies are not functioning well, because it's been man's choice, not God's. That's why, and I say this all the time, I don't agree with a church election. You can't elect.
Oh, neither do I.
No. If what you need to do is get on your knees and say, God, you choose. I learned a long time ago, there's two things you do not get to choose. You do not get to choose your parents, and you do not choose who is to be the leader. That is up to God to choose. He makes the final call on that. Like I said, I'm listening to y'all because I'm learning some stuff. So I'm going to leave it at that. Amen.
Well, no, I like what you said, because you're absolutely right. And there are denominations that do the electoral process as if they were electing a president of these United States. No. I'm sorry, I can't go along with that process, because even the ones that you're electing are not the ones that are supposed to fulfill that office. And they lessen and cheapen the anointing that comes with that particular office. They lessen it. They cheapen it. Now, if it were an electoral process, neither one of you would be apostles. I probably wouldn't be a bishop up and coming. We'd probably still be on the fifth row somewhere until it's our turn. We got to wait for 8 more people to die before we can get in place. You know? Think about that for a minute. But now I want to take, if you don't mind, can I jump somewhere? And this, you'll appreciate this, Apostle Smith. At Bishop Kevin R. Richardson's ordination, Bishop Woodson preached a message. But the message that he preached was not the message that stayed with me. Here's what he said in the midst of his message. He was talking about God's choice. And he said in the middle of his message, I quote, "One of these days I got to preach the message when the prophet is wrong." And he was talking about Samuel going through the seven brothers or the seven sons of Jesse before he got to the right one, which was King David. And I'm only bringing that up for this particular reason. We sometimes can pick and choose what we think is qualified. And the very individual that has the most qualification is the least likely to get the job according to human standards. That's all I wanted to say.
I'm gonna let y'all into something tonight.
Mm-hmm.
God allowed Elijah to hit Elisha,
mm-hmm,
because he knew Elisha would have the hunger that the son of the prophet had not developed.
That they lacked.
He, after being hit by the mantle, first of all, immediately dropped whatever he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Left with the prophet so fast until he said, oh, I left the plow in the field, I left the oxen in the field, and I didn't even say goodbye to mom and daddy.
Mm-mm.
There was an immediate connection and longing to have whatever this man of God had. That when he hit me with his mantle, it also gave me a hunger for another level of what God can do.
Amen.
And then as we look in our scripture chosen tonight, every place he went, he's being told the same thing.
Mm.
It wasn't like they were asking him different questions everywhere he went. In each city they went, the son of the prophet is saying to him, don't you know that your master shall leave your head today? They were tapped in enough to know that he was dying, but not tapped in enough to be hungry for what he had.
All right.
You don't hear in not one city, not one son of the prophet saying, the master is going away today. I want what he got. Even if he has that, I want what he got, but I don't know how to get it. You don't hear, mm-hmm, not one son at the school of the prophet making mention that they want what he got.
They were positioning for something else.
Thank you. They were not tapped in to this thing the way they should have been.
Mm-mm. Not even close.
It reminds you of the time we're in today, that people want a title, but they don't want the office. They don't want the work. And this was all about God's work being done. It shows that the problem today with our local assemblies is that we have a people who they want recognition, but they don't want responsibility. This man was like, hey, listen, Elisha, like, look, I'm going to be with you because I want the responsibility to keep the work of the Lord going. I want to do what God would have me to do. And that was his mindset, and he refused to come off of that mindset. We don't find that in today's time because that's not what people are interested in today's time. Listen, let's tell the truth. I've said it time and time again. People today, they come to church for one of three reasons: to get paid, get laid, or get played.
Mm-hmm. All right. And they can get paid in more than one way. They can get paid through, now I got to be careful how I say stuff, because I said I was going to be careful how I say stuff from here on out. They can get paid no attention, or they can get paid with some attention. You read between the lines on that one.
And not only that, but let's look at something very interesting. In each city they went in, there is a biblical or an important lesson Elisha had to learn. Gilgal,
amen,
the place of the olive press. He had to learn what it took to be anointed.
Mm-hmm.
Then they went on, let me get the four places right now, but they went on to the next place where he had to learn another lesson. Then they went to another place where he learned yet another lesson. And in every place, watch this now, this is how people miss getting the supernatural. In every telling him, you done got all you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
But Elisha saw that he had not gotten all he going to get. He learned the lesson, but he kept saying there's more in the man of God than what I'm learning.
Amen. Amen.
And see, that's the difference between the sons of the prophet and Elisha. He saw beyond the lesson. And he said, I need what I see in the man of God. When he touched me with that mantle, it was more than this. Good Lord.
Right.
Oh, that's a word right there. It was more than this. It was more than the school. It was more than meeting you brothers. It was more than going from town to town, learning the lessons of that town, which has spiritual meaning for me. He said, I'm going to keep on traveling. I'm going to keep on traveling. Then when they get down to the Jordan, he learned something he had never seen before. He learned that this man is anointed enough that when he smacked his mantle, his same mantle he just smacked me with, he smacked the water and the water opened up for him.
Mm-hmm.
I must be crazy.
Nope.
Elisha said, did I just see what I just saw?
Mm-hmm.
What wouldn't make him hungry for what the man of God had, seeing all that he was seeing? And I think in a lot of ministries where the pastor is walking in the supernatural, walking in great power, great anointing, I think sometimes that they become so, it becomes such a complacent happening that we forget that the anointing, there has to be more than what we see them do. What is actually going on inside of them that makes God do what he does through them?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We see how God uses them, but what is in them? What is their drive? What makes the supernatural keep happening through them That's what I ought to be after. I shouldn't be after the pastor's cape, the pastor's robe, the suit the pastor had on, the Sunday when 50 people fell out in the spirit. Ain't nothing in that. What is in the leader that I really should need, that I really should be going after? What is it that God has in that person that I need to be chasing? We're looking at the wrong stuff, looking the wrong way, expecting the wrong thing, and then wonder why the anointing can't flow in us like the one we're watching.
All right.
But when Elisha and Elijah got to that joint, Elijah said in so many words, and as the old preacher said, I'm getting ready to go into my Holy Ghost imagination. I can imagine Elijah turning around to Elisha saying, have you seen enough yet? Then he says to him, won't you stay here? I'm going over to the other side. Now, isn't it bad enough that the brothers of the prophetic school were telling him, won't you stay here? But now, here's the one with what I want telling me, won't you stay here?
Mm-hmm.
What does that really mean? Or what is really going on when the one that you're striving to get God from is telling you, just stay right here?
Well, to me, it's a test. How hungry are you for real? You
going to
keep sitting on that couch? Or you going to go in that kitchen and make something to eat? What you going to do?
See?
To me, it was a test. Definitely was a test.
I'm in agreement with Bishop-elect. It was a test.
You know what? I'm coming to Georgia with 3 buckets of oil, and I'm going to use every last one of them. Watch this. Elijah smokes the water and begins to walk through the Jordan. Elisha had no better sense than to follow.
That's right.
And watch this now. The water actually stayed open for Elijah and Elisha. Uh-oh.
His agreement.
There was something going on already, and Elisha didn't even realize.
He was in agreement with the prophet.
But when he stepped in that water, it seemed like the water would have been closing up on him and opening up for Elijah. But I like what you said. He had come into a place of total agreement of what was in the man of God. Now watch this. When they get to the other side, the man of God then says to him, don't you know I'm going to be taken away today? There won't be no more me after this. I'm at my final place. Tell me, what do you want? Because I'm leaving.
I'm glad you asked. I've seen your anointing. I've seen God move in you for the short time I've been around you, and I want twice as much.
He said, you said a good thing. Only thing is, if you see me when I'm going, you can have what you're asking for. Now, at this point, Whitlow, at this point, will be where everybody starts hooping and talking about you got to keep your eye on the prize. You got to keep your eye where God is moving. You got to keep your eye. And that's good preaching.
Mm-hmm.
But can I share something with y'all tonight? He had his eye on the prize when they entered into Gilgal. When, matter of fact, when he left the field, his eye was already on the prize. So what in the
That's
world
right.
was Elijah talking about? Elijah was not talking about watching him. Elijah was saying, son, your eyes have been in the right spot all this time. All you need to do now is have your eyes fixed that when I release the mantle, you can take it up.
All right now.
He was saying to Elisha, man, before you even ask, it had already been granted.
That's right.
Why I hit you in the field. That's why I took you to Gilgal. That's why I took you to Jordan. That's why I took you to Jericho and all these different places. He said because your eye was already on what you wanted. I just had to get in place to get out your way so you could carry the next anointing.
All right.
Uh-oh. Some of us ain't never seen
you know,
that before. Yes, sir.
Apostle. While I'm listening to you, this scenario reminds me of something that Jesus said. Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do also. But then he says, greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. And then he says, I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you some help who will lead you and guide you in all truth. So I believe that what happened between Elijah and Elisha was a foreshadow of what can happen for us in today's time if we are willing to receive what the Lord really has for us to receive. That's just a thought. I don't know much.
So, and I like that because and so it says that a chariot of fire come down from heaven. And watch this now. I don't know what Elisha was doing in that moment. Chariot came down. I don't know if it was a breeze. I don't know if he felt the heat of the fire. But the chariot came down, and the Bible says, went in between Elijah and Elisha. And the whirlwind behind it swooped up Elijah. And whatever it was, it jarred Elisha to look up. And he just my God, I'm going to have to preach that one of these days. You almost missed the anointing.
All right now.
Elijah, he just did catch Elijah going up. And while Elijah's going up, he had to be looking at Elisha. Because when he noticed that he was looking up, he dropped the mantle. Mm-hmm. But here's what I like in that lesson. It says Elisha tore his clothes and picked up the mantle with the pieces he had ripped. Uh-oh. We got too many people that get the mantle but don't know how to handle it right. Elisha said, that much power, I cannot go over and touch it with my natural hand. ripped his clothes and went and picked it up and bound his garment with Elisha's mantle and went back to the water. And then they say, I got the power now. Went back to the water and said, in the name of my Father, in the name of the one that gave me this anointing, in the name of Elijah's God, poof, he hit the water. And the same miracle started happening for him.
Amen.
Oh, man. This is a powerful story, I'm telling you.
It is.
It's a powerful lesson, powerful story. And then from there on, if I had time, we could run through all the miracles that Elisha did after receiving that mantle. And you will see he did double the miracles of his spiritual father, plus one. And I'm going to say that till next week. Hallelujah. And so, anybody have anything else they want to say? I know Kimmy Kim been kind of quiet and Whitlow been kind of quiet, but y'all come on and have something to say.
I've just been enjoying the conversation. You guys are deep today, so I'm just taking notes. That's all. It's all good. There are times I got
to want to hear the AA. Watch this, Whit Smith. I want to hear these notes. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Well, for one, you guys been talking about, like, what makes a good spiritual father, how some of the churches are preferring education over the anointed, and now you guys are talking about, like, how you can, well, no, that was earlier, about the supernatural versus the spiritual. I mean, it's been real good. I'm listening. So there are times I got to just listen to you guys. You got deep. I was saying to myself, woo wee, this is for like those meat eaters right now. It's like, okay, but it's good. I love it.
Also, Urban Whitlow,
those are good notes.
Talk to
him. I'm like Dr. Kimmy. I'm just here with you deep guys, you know, trying to keep up. Y'all went so far tonight. I'm like, Lord Jesus, they must not want me to talk too much, but they all over there. Great word tonight. Great word. Enjoying this stuff that I'm learning from you guys. One day I'm going to be as good as y'all.
Help, Jesus. Help. Help, Lord. Bishop, elect.
I will say this, if I could have one last thought. Do I want to just be natural? Do I want to be supernatural? If I want to be supernatural, let me take a page out of King David's book. If you notice throughout Scripture in 1 Kings and in parts of Chronicles when it talked about David, he always made this phrase, and God was with David, and God was with David, and God was with David. Well, someone asked the question, why does it say, and God was with David? Well, God was with David because David was with God. So if I want to get past the natural and walk in the supernatural, I've got to get in a place where God recognizes that I'm there and is willing to take me further than where I am. That's telling God in so many words, I'm ready to move beyond what's in front of me. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. And I'm going to say for my closing, if you're catching hell, don't hold it.
Nah.
If you're going through hell, don't stop. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. God got great things in store for you. Find somebody who can lead you into a greater presence of God's supernatural power. Have a great night. Keep on loving God and loving each other. Shalom, shalom. Kimmy Kim. put it on, let it roll, and make it rock.
I'll do something for me. Clap like this here. 1, 2, 3. Clap your hands. Come on. Now when I say this verse, y'all stand with me. Say, listen. Whose report will you believe? You say. Come on. Can y'all clap that one more time?